particular day of the Lord comes, and everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Many people sing Happy Birthday on this day of Pentecost, recognized as the birthday of the church. Though I know that this day is a moment of creation, I see it as a part of God's ongoing creation, where there is no beginning and no ending, only God's everlasting life. There is a new creation, for this moment comes with wind and fire, with transformation, with birth. Let's capture it, though, in its long story and the one that remains unfinished. On this day of Pentecost, we find an interesting guest list that comes to the party. Of course, Jesus' closest friends are praying in the upper room. It's not just the disciples and 11 that returns to 12 when Matthias is elected to replace Judas. It's emphasized that Mary, her family, and other women are also actively praying. The community is made up of about 120 people, and it's not a nucleus of people, not singular of clan or class. When the fire and wind arrive, a crowd convenes outside inquiring about what seems like chaos and disturbance. The crowd itself is an international gathering of the Jewish diaspora, representing a multitude of cultures. The Holy Spirit arrives during the Jewish first feast of weeks, which is connected with the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Jerusalem is overflowing with the Jewish diaspora who pilgrimage to Jerusalem for this festivity. They are devout Jews from every nation under heaven, sharing the same story and the same faith and the same hope of Israel's restoration. When we return to the book of Genesis, a story of beginnings, the chaos of the crowd on this day of Pentecost is reminiscent of the Tower of Babel and the division of languages that was imposed. At one time, the whole earth had one language and the same words. The people convened and set out to build themselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. They decided to create a name for themselves such that they would not be scattered over the earth. God descends, confusing their language and scattering them across the face of all the earth. Not being able to understand one another's language is a determined factor in division. And here we find the Tower of Babel. On this day of Pentecost, this huddled, prayerful community of followers is anticipating the Holy Spirit. They've been told that a fire would baptize them, empowering them with all they need to be faithful followers of Christ. They did not anticipate, though, how the Holy Spirit arrives and joins them through the miracle of hearing. Once filled with the Spirit, all of them speak in varying languages. And in awe and wonderment at Galileans speaking in their foreign tongues, the crowd gathers. They're amazed. They're perplexed. They listen to the stories of God's deeds of power in their own native language. And they're confused. They're amazed. It's as if a mighty healing of the confusion caused by the Tower of Babel is suddenly experienced as a new joining of a diaspora who can once again understand one another. A scattered people, now divided by language, are once again joined by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is an experience of God breaking into the brokenness and division of this world. It is God revealing the wholeness of the peaceable kingdom that is God's vision. It is God teaching us the way of justice, mercy, and peace, even in the Israelite tribe. They are a diverse people. Because they had been scattered by imperial forces, they did not speak the same language or necessarily share in the same culture. So unity in this light is no longer defined as being the same, eating similarly, speaking alike. Despite their differences, they join in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. They are joined in their steadfast love of God and faith in God. And so, filled with the Holy Spirit, on this day, Peter shares the very first sermon, and everyone is invited to be baptized. A visible healing reveals God's vision for all the earth. The Galileans and the diaspora hear one another in a new way. And it's a way that opens the door, not just to expand the kingdom of God within the Jewish community, but also to stretch across all languages and cultures. The Holy Spirit comes with a mission for the church, to empower us in that mission. The Holy Spirit recognizes that language is a barrier that prohibits us from loving one another. And in this Pentecostal moment, God transcends it. God reveals a pathway for people to join together in relational love that is devoted to an intimacy of the very language, the very heart of a people. The miracle is in the hearing. One of my first experiences of language was when I traveled to France as a teenager to live with a family and work in a cheese factory for a month. So I had studied French in school, got a whole 3 years in. And so I arrived assuming that I could speak the language. What I learned very quickly was I couldn't hear the words at all, especially when you combine it with their dialect and speed and the complexity of following conversations with multiple people. And even while I translated my English words into sentences of French words, people looked at me perplexed and confused as if I was still speaking a foreign language. I was. It was my first experience of being a foreigner. My second experience of language occurred on my cross-cultural experience to Haiti, where our lessons in language were directly tied to culture and values. We didn't just learn that bonjour meant good morning. We actually learned a proverb, Yon bel bonjour c'est passeport, or a beautiful greeting is your passport. See, in Haiti, greeting one another is an integral aspect of the culture, and it involves more than just saying the word. There's an etiquette to what you do and how you say it, and the fact that you have to say it every time you meet somebody. It means something. One afternoon, I asked one of my friends how you would say to a boy that he is handsome. And my friend explains politely to me that the word is belle. Belle means beautiful. So I try to explain to him that, no, that's how you describe a girl, right? A girl's beautiful, but a boy is handsome. And I wanted to know how you would describe a boy. Patiently, he repeated that the word is belle. I tried multiple times, just thinking, he's just not understanding what I'm asking. And I wanted the correct response. And I finally had to give up. It wasn't until later I learned that there is no gender in Haitian Creole. Belle is true for whether you're a boy or a girl. And even the pronoun that they use, li, is the same for he, she, and it. A language without gender shapes a different kind of community. The history of Haiti's language also helps us understand the people. Haitian Creole is itself a compilation of languages because Haiti is a nation of African descendants enslaved by France. So from different African tribes, when they all arrived, no one spoke the same language. And the base of their language reflects primarily that of the French-speaking masters. In Haiti, the common language is that of the peasants, Haitian Creole. But the actual official language of the country the one predominantly used in the systems of power, in their political, judicial, and educational systems, is French. See, the bourgeois class asserts power by maintaining Haitian Creole as tertiary and inferior. Imagine, education is only possible by studying in French. This forces all the children to learn everything in a second language or not learn it at all. Their voice is not recognized and certainly not even heard. What I've learned is that I cannot truly understand my Haitian friends or anybody who speaks a different language until I learn their language, until they can express themselves to me through their own native language. Language captures the most intimate space of ourselves. It joins voice, memory, sound, body, land, and place. Theologian Willie James Jennings writes, "To speak a language is to speak a people." The hearing in our own native language influences how and what we understand, especially if it's to touch the heart. So as the Holy Spirit arrives in the midst of diverse people, the Holy Spirit sets fire to the tongues and empowers the Galileans to speak in the native languages of those in the crowd. The Holy Spirit joins the people through a message that is received with familiarity and connection. God speaks people. Our mission is to speak people too. When I look at our world right now, it feels a lot more like the Tower of Babel than Pentecost. The divisiveness in the world, our country, and even the United Methodist Church is a lot of people talking and few of us truly hearing. We speak different languages. Because language is more than just the words. It takes an intimate knowing of a people to really grasp a language. See, words are bound to ideas, events, songs, sayings, jokes, everyday practices, habits of mind and body. And it's all within a land and the journey of a people. It's a humbling experience to allow yourself to be informed and transformed by another language. It's a humbling experience to sit in difference, to know less, to do things incorrectly and probably be laughed at, and see the world through a different lens. The Holy Spirit descends with a fire of tongues, a divine symbol of God's presence, to join us together. And the work begins across language. And the miracle begins in the hearing. Friends, this week, we observed how the cries of a black man under the force of a police officer, though speaking the same words, was not heard. As George Floyd pleaded, "I can't breathe," his words went unheard. And as the powerless crowd pleaded for his release, their words also went unheeded. Before our eyes, the life of Mr. Floyd faded away. Now, even in the watching of this murder, what people hear and see differs. Nationwide protests have erupted as people express outrage and fear of yet another death of an unarmed black person. Yesterday, a peaceful protest in Philadelphia turned violent and destructive. This is unacceptable behavior. It's confusion and chaos. People are speaking different languages. If our mission is to speak people like God, then we need to learn the language of the people, including the history, culture, ideologies, and everyday practices of a people. The experience of white people living in the United States is very different than that of a person of color. The history of slavery and segregation in the United States has created a language barrier. As a white person, my experience of the police and the judicial system is very different than that of people of color. especially the African American community. See, their story begins with a definition of a black person being only two-thirds of a human being. It involves slave patrols, lynching, Jim Crow laws, mass incarceration, and the death of unarmed, innocent black people without prosecution of the persecutors. If you want to truly hear their language, then you must listen to the experiences spoken through the perspective of African American people. As a white female, I will never experience the world in the same way that a black or Latina or Native American woman will. It's not possible. I can commit to learn their language, a language wrapped in history, intimate stories, and habits and practices that have helped their people survive despite the oppression and violence of white supremacy. I don't know what's on your heart about the murder of George Floyd and the nationwide protests. I am outraged by the systemic racism that has plagued our nation from its very roots. The arc toward justice is far too slow. This is a barrier, a great divide that demands a response. As a follower of the Prince of Peace, I commit to doing the hard work of identifying racism in myself and my community. It is difficult, humbling work. I invite all of you to join me in the spirit of Pentecost to learn to speak a different language. This summer, I will be facilitating conversations on race. Bishop Peggy Johnson implores us, now more than ever, the people of God need to speak out about racism and injustice when and where we see it. One voice can make a real difference. Let your voice be heard. On this day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit flames this community with a shared message of God's power and radical love. God speaks. God speaks people. The Holy Spirit transcends language so that in their difference, they experience liberation through Jesus Christ. God reveals for us a way to create a peaceable kingdom, a way that challenges us to hear one another in difference. It requires us to reach across massive boundaries of words, culture, religion, and ethnicity. This is so beautifully illustrated in the arrival of the Holy Spirit, who is sent to empower the mission of the church. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." God's creation is ongoing. It's a long story. We know in our lives today, which certainly feels more like the Tower of Babel than Pentecost, that it is not finished. God calls us to participate in doing our work and reaching across the massive barriers to build relationships with people in difference. And our faith assures us that God, through the Holy Spirit, is endlessly working to join us as one in creation. And I'll leave you the words of St. Ignatius Loyola. He says, "Go forth and set the world on fire." Praise be to God. Amen.